We're going to look back 1 week ago to the final major of the year, the PGA Championship in Detroit at Oakland Hills. And to help us do that is a very good friend of the program, Tim Rosafort, senior writer for Golf World Magazine. He also has a column each month in Golf Digest. You can watch him most nights on the Golf Channel, whether it's Golf Central or the Sprint Post Game or the Sprint Pregame. He also does some work for NBC as well, and he'll be doing some stuff coming up here for the Ryder Cup. He is Tim Rosafort, hardest working man in the business. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, Russ. It's not that hard to work. It's covering golf, you know.
I hear you. It's a fun job if you can get it. Well, let's start with Padraig Harrington because he is the toast of the town right now. He's just won his second consecutive major at Oakland Hills in the PGA Championship. It almost snuck up on us, I think, over the last year or so. You know, in the last 13 months, he's won three of the six majors. What do you say about Padraig? Are you surprised by this?
No. You think about the dedication and the work and where he's put himself, and then now that he's here, the steps he's made to stay there and take it even up higher. But you go back to the Honda Classic in 05 when he came here, and it was his first win in the U.S., and he talked that day right here in Palm Beach Gardens over at Mirasol about being a working-class guy growing up and never thinking he was going to make it, and always thinking he was going to be the working man's golfer, the average run-of-the-mill journeyman pro. Because coming out of Ireland, you know, it was Darren Clark, and everybody sort of laughed at this guy when he said he was going to turn pro. He was an accountant, and now he's just counting up the majors and getting better along the way. And a competitive guy and an intense character under pressure who doesn't melt. And you saw the look on his face. It was reminiscent of that guy we're missing so much, Tiger Woods. When he got there, he had a different look on his eyes. It was great to see, and riveting TV, especially with Garcia in the mix.
Well, Tim, they talk about Tiger's short game as the best in the world, and I agree, and Phil Mickelson right there as well. But, I mean, Padraig Harrington's short game has got to be in that mix. With what he did, especially down the stretch at 16, getting up and down for par from the sand, at 17, sinking that 10-foot birdie putt, you know, on top of Sergio, and Sergio ends up missing his birdie putt, which was even shorter, and then at 18, you know, getting out of that bunker, and he was in the right rough. You know, he's on in three with the 7-iron, and then sinks the 12-footer for par and basically wins the championship there. Padraig's short game is right up there with Tiger and Phil.
I know you described that finish, and you wonder how the guy shot 66-66 at the end. Well, that's how he shot 66-66, because it's not only technique in those cases, whether it's putting or with a wedge, it's your heart and your mind and kind of your will, and Harrington has all that stuff going right now. It was interesting to me, how in the Open Championship just 3 weeks ago, he goes out on that opening day, it was blowing sideways, 40 miles an hour, you wouldn't even want to be out walking your dog and that stuff, and he went out that day, shot four over, I believe, and wanted another crack at it. His will to win and his intensity, his focus was so acute over there. And then 2 weeks later in the opening round, he said he couldn't wait to get off the course after that. After the ball stopped going in a hole form, after he birdied the first three holes out of the blocks, a totally different start for him. And yet he was able to go back and kind of correct his mind and get it right and start thinking in terms of, you know, the process more than the result. That's what Rotella kept saying, the process more than the result. And once he got into the process again, the results started happening. On Sunday, he was totally into the process. He never thought in terms of what it was going to play out to. He was just worried about that particular shot. Again, you talk about the great up and downs and getting it up and down at 18 and the break he got with the ball and, you know, coming up on top of the rough there. But the putt he made at 17, it was just, see, he knew that whoever made those, if he was putting first, if he got it in the hole, chances are Garcia was going to miss. If he missed, he thought Garcia was going to make. It was going to be over the other way. So that was, to him, in his head, that was the pivotal moment that on that 17th green.
Tim Rosafort, senior writer for Golf World Magazine, joining me here on the show. Russ Evans with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. You mentioned Sergio, and he was part of the drama. It was great back and forth. I realize Ben Curtis was part of the mix as well, but he was in one group behind. You know, effectively, it was a two-horse race for most of the coverage because CBS ended up focusing on Sergio and Padraig in that second-to-last group, and it was phenomenal. Phenomenal drama. It was, you know, it was a great it was a great final day for a major when you consider in the 12-hour span on Sunday we got most of the third round and then the entirety of the fourth round. But what do you think about Sergio now, Tim? Because I kind of agree with what I'm hearing from most people that he didn't lose this. Padraig won this, and I think we're all kind of encouraged by what we saw from Sergio down the stretch and then in the press conferences afterwards.
Well, it was a step in the right direction. I don't know if it was enough of a step or the type of step that Sergio wanted to take, because if you really, in his mind, and you're right, Harrington went out and won it. I mean, look what he did. But Sergio had the same opportunities from the same places and didn't cash in. And, you know, let's face it, he had the green light shot at 16. I know there's water right, but that flag, you should never be right of that flag in that situation. Where he was in that match with Harrington, you know, that's it's a green light green. It's not a green light pin. You don't want to be going at that thing. And then he sticks it in the ditch, and that was it there. And at 17, you know, you got to make the four-footer, and it really came down to the point of his game that's still stressed, and that's the putter. And it's no secret he's missed a few along the way throughout the course of that tournament. And when he really had to get it in the hole and trust it and make that putt after Harrington did at 17, he didn't do it. And at 18, it really was sort of inconsequential, obviously, once Harrington knocked it on the green. But, you know, Garcia had his chances there, too. He had a great second shot that just came up short in that bunker. And, of course, he ran off to the bathroom, came back, and didn't get it up and down. It wouldn't have mattered at that point anyway, though, because Harrington did get it up and down. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff to come from Sergio, for sure. He's a gifted athlete, a phenomenal guy to watch, with a flair for the, you know, the dramatic and for the being animated, and very much like the playing with a boiling passion that a Ballesteros played with. But at the bottom of the evaluation, playing those last three holes, the pressure got to him. He knows it. You know, he's got to admit it to himself in his heart. But that's how the great ones bounce back. Golf's all about failing in those pressure situations and then coming back the next time and forgetting about it.
You know, he's come so close to so many times. This is now his 14th career top 10 in a major and 41 career starts. And, you know, halfway through that final round on Sunday, Tim, I really thought Sergio was going to get it done. He was making all those 5 and 6 foot putts that he usually misses, but, you know, he did falter there down the stretch. So he ends up 2 shots short in a tie for second with Ben Curtis. Padraig Harrington obviously ends up winning it, his second straight major, his third major in 13 months. And as of right now, and I realize we still have a month of golf left, we have 4 FedEx Cup playoff events, including the Tour Championship, but as of right now, Tiger Woods, Padraig Harrington, who is your player of the year?
Man, I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that, Russ, to tell you the truth, because I don't know. We were in the parking lot the other night, outside Oakland Hills just on Sunday night, talking to Brian Hewitt of the Golf Channel and T.R. Reinman, who used to cover golf for San Diego. He's now Mickelson's publicist, and TR throws out the fact that that Woods has won, what is it, like 4 of 6 with a second and a fifth.
Right.
You know, I don't know who pointed it out. It might have been Hewitt, and then the other guy pointed out about Harrington winning 2 majors, and you know, in most cases, the 2 majors trumps the other record. But you got to factor in how Woods won the Open with the leg and what he did all season with the leg. So it's early. It's kind of like my presidential vote, Russ. You know,
right.
McCain and Obama are still working for it. I guess Harrington's still working for it, and Woods is already, you know, he's cast, you know, his year in stone.
I think we agree. If Padraig wins another event, one of the last 4 events of the year in the FedEx Cup playoffs, he's the player of the year. But as of right now, as it stands, I mean, it's awfully close. You make a good point, Tim. It's almost like a photo finish. Let me ask you this.
I will say this. At midseason, I thought the only guy that could steal it was Mickelson, with a major and winning the FedEx Cup. And I thought he was the only guy capable of doing that, although Kenny Perry and Stuart Sink had put themselves in positions to do that. I just didn't think they had the game or the resolve to do it. But I thought Mickelson was the only guy. I didn't see, as much as I'm not surprised about Harrington winning the 2 majors, I didn't see him being a guy who was going to win 2 majors at that point in the season.
Well, you mentioned Kenny Perry, and that's the name I was going to mention. And unfortunately for him, he had to withdraw after 1 round with the eye condition with the scratched cornea. But he's got 3 victories on the year. He's the leader in the FedEx Cup points race. If he wins an event or two in the FedEx Cup, and maybe one of those being the Tour Championship, does he have any right to possibly being Player of the Year?
No.
Yeah, I think I agree.
I was going to cut you off in mid-question there, but I didn't want to be rude, so I was going to let you go for it anyway. Just to say that, I mean, I guess I'm being a little bit of a wise guy here, but I just don't see it. I don't think his wins, and you, I guess you either, Russ, you know, see his wins in the same strata or qualification, class. I mean, he could probably win out the FedEx Cup I'm going to lean toward Woods and Harrington.
Well, I agree with you. Pat and I had this conversation last week. The Memorial really is the only of those three victories that's really a solid win. I mean, the Buick Open and the event in Silvis, Illinois, the John Deere. I mean, those are nice events, but they're not like the Arnold Palmer and the U.S. Open for Tiger and the match play. And for Padraig, you know, hell, he's got two majors, the British Open and the PGA Championship. So
you know, Bruce, a win's a win on a tour, and whether it's Turning Stone in the Fall Series or the L.A. Open, you know, it's a win, and you're beating a bunch of great players. But then when you really kind of get up into those different the different layers of the altitude, then it's a whole different game up there, too. So, Kenny's had a hell of a season, and just like Steve Flesch did last year for winning Reno and Turning Stone. But, you know, it's a different kind of league up there, and you know it.
Yep, I agree. Tim Rosefort, senior writer for Golf World Magazine, joining me here on the show. You can also read Tim each month in Golf Digest. You can watch him most nights on the Golf Channel, whether it be Golf Central or Sprint Post Game or the Sprint Pregame. And he does some work for NBC as well. So he is a hardworking man joining me here on Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. Russ Evans with you. Tim, couple Ryder Cup thoughts before I let you go. First of all, the top eight for the U.S., they were named right after Sunday's final round. Stuart Sink, Phil Mickelson, Kenny Perry, Justin Leonard, Anthony Kim, Jim Furyk, and then Ben Curtis and Boo Weekly sneaking in there at 7 and 8. Before we get to likely what will be Azinger's four captains picks, your thoughts on those eight players right there who are definitely on the team?
Well, my thoughts on the picks kind of merge into, you know, who made the team. And, he was hoping guys would play their way on, and he was hoping more than just Ben Curtis would play themselves on, too. I mean, Curtis was sort of the... Everybody had an eye on Curtis. He liked him because he was a steady player. He's looking for guys. Experience doesn't mean that much to him. So Curtis playing himself on was good, but J.B. Holmes is a name I'm getting to here, and he really liked Holmes, and he was hoping if Holmes didn't win, he didn't shoot 81.
Right.
So that he would make a positive move. In actuality, he went down a spot in the standings because Curtis jumped him. But the point is that, you know, he's got some experience. He's got some old hands, guys who have been there before. You always want to go in there with Mickelson and Furyk. As your two leaders. I mean, you can't go wrong there. And Sink has evolved into that. I think Boo Weekly will definitely play to the redneck factor up there. You know, I mean, it's Kentucky. He speaks the same language. It's a really good guy to have on your team and to make the team. And for character and for humor as well. I mean, he may end up being the Woody Austin of this team, the way Woody was in the President's Cup. So that sets up where I'm going with the picks is that he should just go with youth. He should just go with Trahan and Snedeker. And with maybe Hunter Mahan, definitely with J.B. Holmes.
Right, right.
And just roll the cards that way. I mean, the United States has lost five of the last six. There's all this talk about regenerating the Ryder Cup. Tiger's not there. You couldn't go in even more of an underdog anyway. Play to the masses and play to the future. Snedeker would be a Southern kid, so he would be good if he gets the ball rolling. Trahan is the other guy I failed to mention, who had a great U.S. Open and won the Bob Hope. Three of the four of them have won this year.
Sean O'Hare's in that mix,
Sean
too.
Sean O'Hare's right? The other guy. So it would be O'Hare, Trahan, Snedeker, and Holmes would be my four picks right now.
And you wrote that last week in Local Knowledge, Tim. You know, it seems like Azinger is looking young. His quote was, they're the generation of player I'm looking for. They're brash. They're confident. I want them on my team.
Right.
And I get the feeling that you think Hunter Mahan might be one of those four, even despite his comments, because it seems like Azinger likes him.
Things change, you know, week to week. I wrote that before Mahan had such a bad PGA. I'm not throwing him off the bus or off the island because of what he said or because he had a bad tournament, but I think he moved behind those other four guys right now. Now, there's a lot to play for here. You look at the schedule, there's 3 weeks left for four guys to jump out. And there's plenty. Rocco Mediate, who was hot this summer, through really the first three rounds, first half of the British Open is still in the mix. Woody Austin, although he shot 79-79, is still in the mix. I'm trying to think of a couple of the other veterans. Steve Stricker, who got bumped, became the ninth guy, is still in the mix. So there's still plenty to play for and still something for us to talk about on a Golf Channel over the next 3 weeks and on your show and my radio show other than the FedEx Cup race. And that's going to be this race for Paul Azinger's last four picks.
Yeah, well, we will definitely stay tuned. The four picks will come on September 2nd. Paul Easing making those four picks on September 2nd. Unfortunately, I think, you know, Rocco Mediate, Woody Austin, Steve Stricker, I think Easing is going to go with the young guns like you said, Tim. Guys like Hunter Mahan, DJ Trahan, JB Holmes, Sean O'Hare, Brant Snedeker. I think we're going to see most of those four picks, if not all of them, in their mid to late 20s. He is Tim Rosafort, senior writer for Golf World Magazine. He also has a column each month in Golf Digest. You can watch him on Golf Channel, Golf Central. He also does some work for NBC. Tim, you're going to be in Valhalla for NBC doing some work during the Ryder Cup?
We're going to load up that week. Yeah, that's the big NBC / Golf Channel, and I should start with Golf World because that takes most of my time at majors. So it's a great week, a busy week, and an intense week, too, with a lot of drama, a lot of angst, a lot of crying, a lot of cheers, a lot of joy. It's a beautiful week, and it's good to see the look on the faces of the guys like we saw in Harrington, like that look that Furyk gets on his face. It's good to see guys with that pressure, with Garcia playing the way he plays, you know, full-blooded. It's a cool theater, and, you know, it never gets tiring, I'll say that. Whether the United States loses two in a row by 9 points or whether it's gripping and down to the last putt like it was at Kiwa Island.
Well, what Padraig has done now over the last month, you know, you got to think he's Europe's best player now, and Sergio Garcia will be on that team as well. A bunch of the English guys, Justin Rose, Ian Poulter. It's going to be interesting a month from now at Valhalla, but first things first, we've got four FedEx Cup playoff events to deal with, and those come up over the next 4 weeks. It's going to be must-see television. Tim, as always, thank you so much for your time. We always appreciate it. Safe travels to you over the next few months, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Russ. All the best to you and Pat, and thanks for having me on.
Great stuff there from Tim Rosafort, as always, joining us here on Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic.